So the question this morning is, where is home? Where is home? For me, I could say, well, my home is on Bauer Road in Anaheim Hills. I could say my home is SoCal. I could say my home is maybe Tacoma, Washington, where I grew up the first 25 years of my life. I could say heaven. I guess is home an actual physical place? Or is it a different kind of place where you feel home, where it's your place? It's hard to explain, but I think for all of us, you know when you're home. And I think you know what I mean by that. There's maybe a sense of maybe restlessness or feeling of displacement when you're not there, but you know when you're home. In that one place. Home is where the heart is, right? All three lessons for today give us a lesson in faith and in hope, the things that give us the eyes to see the path to get home. Spiritual sight allowed Abram and Sarai to pick up and move, to go to a place they had never been before, to a new home. Jesus, in his conversation with Nicodemus, talked about a new home or a kingdom that he could be a part of. And Nicodemus kind of had trouble seeing it with his physical eyes. But Jesus offered to give him new eyes so he could see where it was. He says, God, the Holy Spirit will help you to see it and to possess it. So the path to or access to your real home, Nicodemus, is from above. Sometimes things can be right in front of us. And we just can't see it. We what it is or see it for what it really is. But God can help us. God wants us to realize his role in this. We can come up with different paths to things. We can come up with different ways of doing things and that work for us and what our way or the way we would desire it to be or whatever. But God comes along and says, I need you to see things from my perspective. I'm the one here that really, truly can get you where you need to be. And really one of the great examples is what we see happening in that promise there that's given in Genesis chapter 12, but also Paul reflecting on it in a New Testament lesson in Romans chapter 4. And if you read further, it says this in Romans 4:18. It says, against all hope, Abraham in faith believed. Because if you know the story, Abraham had no reason to have hope or faith. No reason. But he did. And it's obvious when you kind of read the story and follow it along. Because in Genesis 12, it says, Abraham is 75 years old when God calls him to leave literally everything he knows and take off for a new land. And all along the way, God gives him this promise, you know what? I'm going to turn you into a great nation, Abraham, you and your offspring and your ancestors. And then you hear that and you say, well, I'm 75 years old and I don't even have any kids. But yet in faith, he packed his bags and went trusting God. Abraham in hope believed that he would become the father of many nations. And God repeatedly said, you're going to have a son. Time moved on. You can only wait so long, right? You can only wait so long sometimes in life with things going on, and you're holding on, and you're holding on, and you're holding on. And time had gone so long that the fulfillment of the promise came to seem not only unlikely, but literally physically impossible. So what Abraham hoped for is really against all hope. There's no way around it. And humanly speaking, the fulfillment of the promise had become impossible. Because by the time it finally is time in God's timing and in his perspective that he would have a son, Abraham's 99 years old, his wife Sarah's 90. And to put it Paul's way, he was as good as dead. And Sarah's womb was dead. That's the language. You say, well, how's that for a confidence builder in what's going on, you know? But you know what? God said it, and God did what he said he would do. Because Sarah got pregnant, and they had a child, and they named him Isaac. And it's an amazing story of faith. And so you say, well, what is faith? It's faith is trust and confidence in God's promise. Abraham believed the promise. Now, he looked at himself in the mirror, and he saw a really old man. And even others could say, it's not you. And it's not because of you. It's something outside of us. And Abraham became the example of what it looks like to literally live by faith. Because what does it mean to live by faith? To live by faith means to get a hold of and cling to God's word and promises and just step out and do it. We rely on his promises, not what our physical senses may be telling us. It's on God. See, it's the object of our faith that's the reliable thing. It's not what we in our own kind of sincerity or our own thing that we kind of come up with, right? See, we will have challenges and problems in life. And in those times, we can rely on him to carry us through. We hear so many stories. And you read the stories in the Old Testament, what people went through. You read stories about people who lived through the Holocaust. You read stories about people who lived through communist China and the Soviet Union and all the different kinds of things. And the stories you hear of God working in just amazing ways in the people's lives. And that's why we can have a confident hope, because it has to do where we put our hope. Because see, the reality is this: Satan's going to do anything he possibly can to thwart God's plan or to get us to look elsewhere, to get our minds where they should be onto something else. If I can just weaken confidence, if I can just get you to kind of doubt or look somewhere else, he's doing his job. I'll just get you to focus on guilt for a while. And just start thinking about what you could have done or should have done. Start thinking about maybe the failures that you've had along the way. Things that just didn't work out the way you wanted them to. And just look other places. And what does God do? Even in the midst of that, God says, as he put it in John 3, God lifts up his son and source of forgiveness and hope for all to see. Lifts up so you can see it above all the other stuff. Because God, knowing that there was nothing else that we could do to remedy the situation, raised up the cure for us. And that was his son on a cross. A look of faith is all that's needed. Referencing back to the story that happened in the wilderness when the venomous snakes came into the camp and everyone was starting to get sick and dying from the venom and stuff like that. And the people were wondering what to do. God told Moses, all right, do something that's going to just, everyone look at you and say, you're stupid, Moses. What are you saying here? Just take something, make a snake out of some bronze, put on a stick and look at it, and they'll be healed. Yeah, thanks for that. Do something that doesn't make any kind of logical sense. And so God's the one that's going to get the glory. Just look at it in faith, trust me. And you know what? The people who in faith, because of what God said to do, did it, they were healed. And the exact same thing here, just as Moses leapt the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So I look at a guy on a cross, that's going to heal me? God says, yeah. It's going to deal with the problem that you really have. You see, faith sees what God has done and it grabs hold of it. God provided the way to be healed spiritually. There's so much stuff we can just take time to look at in this world. You say, where's the hope? How's this going to play out? How are people going to have a future in this? Look at the messed up world. Kind of where my mind went, I look back and how blessed I have been, and so many people from this church, that when we've done some of our inner city trips, and almost everyone we've ever done, we were always in some form or fashion connecting with kids along the way too. And the kids that we saw in Washington, D.C., or Philadelphia, or Chicago, or Houston, or Nashville, or Detroit, or Boston, or L.A., or wherever it was, sometimes you come alongside of things going on with kids and you're hanging out with them and you're ministering to them and stuff like that. And you say, I really hope what's going to happen to these kids in their future. And unless something drastic happens or significant happens, are they just going to kind of fall into what else is going on around them? But every single place we were in, there were those ministries, those people who came along and just loved kids and encouraged them and gave them hope and gave them, hope in Christ. And you say, yeah, there is hope. And it's not just for kids. It's just ministries in general. I mean, just loop back as a little side there. Even when Chuck Smith came to town, and all of a sudden, people who just wouldn't be your typical people wandering in the church and stuff like that, you know, the hippie types. But here was a person just faithfully, I'm just going to preach the word. I'm just going to preach through the word. And just gave the word in a way that people just felt, I can be here. I'm not going to be judged by who I am or how I'm dressed or what's going on in my life. And God just did an amazing work and raised up a generation of people because God's word faithfully went out. We're born into a sinful world, and it's almost like it just immediately just kind of sucks us into making us want it to kind of shape and mold ourselves to whatever's going on in the world around us. And surrounded by the influence that really want nothing to do with God. And their idea of being home is completely different. And so unless something happens, the future is one of sin and a sentence of being separated from God. Something needs to be done. That's what makes God, our Heavenly Father, the greatest Father. Because he says, I've got a rescue plan. And part of that rescue plan was to adopt us into his family, to make us part of his family. And once we are in, he says, welcome home. This is where you were created to be. We all continue to share in that promise way back in Genesis chapter 12, where God says, you're blessed to be a blessing. And the blessed part comes when we know what God has done for us through a Savior, the promised Messiah. And that we are blessed. And that then is something that we can pass on, that blessing to others. Keep walking toward the promised land and trust his promises to you. And for the journey, he gives us a map. Jesus offered a map. It's not a normal map. For some of you, it's not your Thomas guide that you may still use, or a Google or an Apple map. Because the map is Jesus. He's the way home. And to look up and look at him on the cross is the way to find your way home. Recalibrate your heart. Reset the coordinates for your eyes. Because the nonstop influence of the things around us have a way just kind of knocking us out of alignment with where maybe our focus needs to be. So I guess the question is, where? I mean, in what place is your heart recalibrated? Where is it recalibrated? And to where are the coordinates to your eyes reset to? One place where we can come to have our heart recalibrated is here. Coming together in corporate worship with God's family's people, where we hear the word, that is the place where our hearts, our eyes, our focus can be recalibrated. And it's in worship where we say, all right, the focus is there. See the cross? Reconnect, you know, spin the dial a bit and get it back where it needs to be, and that becomes the focus. But it has to happen often, because it seems like every single time we go leave this place, something knocks our calibration off again. We need to continually relook at the map. And this season asks us, if home is where the heart is, are we home? And again, it helps us to see the habits or the disciplines that are needed, in a sense, to make sure that it's calibrated correctly. See, there is nothing more amazing to know that we're home. It's where I was created to be. And in a spiritual way, to be in God's family with Christ as our focus, it seems like that takes care of so many things and what he provides for us in life. So may we see what he has done to keep us, you know, in the place we need to be, and understand what an amazing thing it is to be home, to really be home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of who you are and what you have done. God, is true. It seems like before we even get out of the parking lot, something could happen that could recalibrate and throw our vision off. God, help us to understand how much we need you, the map, and that we would continue to look up to you. Thank you for leading us home, for being home for us. Thank you for seeing Dwayne through his surgery yesterday. And just hour by hour, day by day, God, just been a very special way, make his body strong to receive the treatments and the healing that he desires. Just watch over him in a special way. Be with Annelle, too, as she heals from a recent injury. Just be with them. Pray that you would, not just for Rachel, but for other people who are sick right now, just give healing to them. There's so many things going on sometimes in our lives that we need to be a certain place or doing certain things for work or whatever it is, but just give her healing. Help us, Heavenly Father, each day to be people who have been blessed to share that blessing with others. And we thank you. And for the gift that you give us today in communion, we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.